Okay, let's drive this car. Foggy and hazy and kind of crappy out, but that's cool. I don't know. Something in my eye. That's, okay, there we go. Let's see. I'm going to the gas station and buy some drink. That's the current plan. It's the current plan. These people crossing the street, get the fuck out of the way. So I'm going to the gas station. There we go. Ah! iPad on the floor. iPad's on the floor. Help. iPad on the floor. How's it going down there? On the floor, I mean. It's still plugged in. I can tug it and then grab it. I'm going to have to figure out, well, I'm going to order a new cover for this. The cover on this iPad fucking ripped and broke. I mean, it had been ripping for a while, and then I think yesterday or maybe the day before it finally ripped off, and now the back of it is completely smooth, so it slides off my backpack a lot more easily and onto the floor. Bumper sticker on this Hyundai SUV. This Hyundai was a Santa Fe. Says hope versus nope. And next to hope, there's a picture of a little donkey. And next to nope, there's a picture of a little elephant. And then it says game on. Yeah. Yeah, game on. That's politics. It's just, yeah, it's just like a football game, basically. Who cares, right? This fog's kind of nice. I don't know. It doesn't normally get foggy in town that frequently, but here we are. Okay. Here's how this is gonna go. I'm going into this gas station. You're not. Hold tight. Energy for adventure. Join Mr. Peanut on a taste adventure. He blends Planters' expertly roasted peanuts and almonds with delicious chocolate-covered peanuts, plump sweet raisins, and tangy cranberries for a flavorful bite. Low sodium, wholesome source of energy. Okay, trail mix. So the thing about Apple Pay, they made a big deal about how fast it is and all this other stuff, but no. Like at this gas station, whether I hold my phone up to the thing or run the fucking credit card through it, either way it comes up afterwards and says, is it credit or debit? And I need to push a button, and then it prints out a receipt that they make me sign, and like the I think even getting it to activate to read the, like, to read the phone might be a button press on the cashier side. So it's actually more work. Like, assuming your credit card has a good stripe on it, and you don't need to run it 100 times and all that shit. Like, it is more work to take that thing. And this, I mean, it's a Chevron station. It was one of the things on their list of like, this is where all these people take Apple Pay. Day one. Up your butt. I don't think they said anything about butts, honestly. And that sucks. Like, this, it'd be, like, it's a beautiful dream, but it's not there. And I've actually, like, after using my, after using my phone a couple of times at that gas station, like, I just went back to the card. It's fucking easier. Like, I would have thought with NFC payments and stuff like that existing on other phones for a good long time that by the time Apple got around to it, it would be like fairly streamlined. And like, I don't know, like it's still fine. Like it's whatever, it's cool. I don't know. Use my thumbprint to pay for trail mix. Sure, fuck it. But I feel like you still have to move at the speed of a cashier, which, you know, like, you never know how that's going to go. Especially, like, in these days, like, you know, like, I went to a Starbucks and was like, yeah, I want to pay with my phone and with the Apple thing. And they were like, what? And they were, like, trying to scan the screen. Like, I was using the Starbucks app, which I think is, like, a QR code, like, that currency bullshit. Like, put a QR code up on the face of the phone and then it scans it and all that. And then when I was like, no, I want to pay with the, like, the phone, they were like, nah, man, I don't know what the fuck you, like, the guy that was like, didn't even know what the fuck I was talking about. And that was supposed to be like, Starbucks was like one of the first things that they said was like, oh yeah, all the Starbucks are on board with Apple Pay. I'm like, nope, no, they're not. Fucking crapshoot. What kind of traffic density we'll see today? These are the things I wonder about. These things keep me going, keep me getting out of bed. What's traffic going to be like today? You know, it's a Friday. Fewer people probably going to work on a Friday. Thank you. right, it's a good looking day out here on the road. I'm gonna fucking turn on the radio.
And celebrity meltdowns.
No! If you can't help them, help me!
It's the Celebrity Wire on Sway in the Morning.
41 minutes past the top of the hour, citizens, joined by our girl, our friend Samoa. She's here. Special guest Celebrity Wire with Tracy G.
Yeah, and you know, this Richard Pryor biopic has been a humongous topic, I feel like, for over a year.
Oh, yeah, humongous.
Finally saw who nabbed the role, and that's Mike S. But Nick Cannon, he was a big candidate. He was growing out his hair. He was in all these interviews talking about, like, he's only just one signature away from getting the deal. But obviously, he didn't. But despite that year of campaigning for the job, he took matters into his own rich and highly connected hands. Because now, Nick Cannon, who's refusing to lose, has his own version of the film that's going to be a made-for-TV. And it's being reported that he's talking about it with NBC, which is where he shoots America's Got Talent. So it looks like that may be something that comes into fruition.
Wow.
You know what's interesting about this? And congratulations to him. You know, sometimes people will tell you no, and you create
and
your
you make
own
a way.
Door.
You make a way.
And I say that because I remember the last time you were here, Samoa, you mentioned about you being a promoter and, like, doing your own shows, and you were saying how you had a show one time and you had booked Kevin Hart and he couldn't even sell out the place. I've never forgotten that story.
And he could not sell out the venue, and I think we didn't have to cancel shows. We had to cancel a show.
Wow.
And he was just in a movie. The movie had just came out that day. The movie with him and Eddie Murphy. I think it was
Life?
What was it called? Meet Dave had just came out that day.
Oh, right.
And we had to actually cancel the show. And
what? Meet Dave not filling the fucking seats?
Right.
So his movie
Kevin Hart?
Came out with
Who
Eddie Murphy.
Fucking yes.
Right.
And called Meet Dave. He couldn't sell out the arena and then or the venue. And then what? A year later,
he is the hottest thing ever.
You can't even get enough tickets.
Can't even do a show with him now. Yeah, so that's crazy, but that's how the entertainment business is. So yeah, shout out to Nick Cannon for taking matters into his own hand. He was passionate about the project,
yeah,
so
right.
He did it.
All right, what else you got, Tracy G?
Okay, so Tasha Smith, we know her, we love her. You know, she also starred in Tyler Perry's Why Did I Get Married? Well, that seems to be a question that her hubby is asking, because apparently Tasha, when she hits the bottle, she can't handle when alcohol's in her system to the point where she goes ballistic on her man.
As Heather puts her second drink down. Go ahead.
Hey.
Judgment free, though. No one's a man here.
She got my attention when she said that.
Tasha's a Jersey girl, isn't she?
Yes, she is.
See, a lot of men can't handle that. Yeah. So he said when she drinks, she goes crazy.
Yes, and starts putting her hands on him, and then also starts threatening him in front of their kids. Said one time, don't fall asleep or something's gonna happen to you.
She probably was rehearsing a role.
Yeah, because that's like kind of like the character right. She plays in those Tyler Perry films when she's married to Marcus.
Well, right. Apparently she was so realistic that he had to go and get a restraining order. Now, he's not filing for divorce. This is an interesting one because they're still living together under the same roof. She has to stay 2 yards away from him when they're in the house, and when they step out the door, it's 100 yards.
Amen. What? Tasha Smith, my friend. I like Tasha
what
Smith.
What kind of braggamackle is that?
I don't believe this story. Did Tasha come out with a statement yet, Tracy G?
It's not an official statement, but supposedly folks from her camp are saying this is ridiculous, and she got...
What?
Now stay away. Supersonic.
tearing through this trail mix.
Perfection, and you know that we are freaks. The E is for exotic and the R is for rap. So tell those nosy people just to stay the hell back. Supersonic, the mix.
Cargo. We fit a stereotype, that's what he said. Big long car for four big black heads. Cops keep jocking, grabbing like gators about stereotypes. I'm looking nothing like Noriega. Cop took my wallet, looked at my license. His partner said,
damn, they all look like Tyson.
Yes, I'm legit, so they gotta let me go. This bucket ain't rolling in snow. It's my hoopty. Yo, buddy, it's my hoopty.
How funky's backspin?
You know what's funky?
I don't know.
Funky, funky, because you heard it from his seat.
Funkier than a locker room after a hoops game.
A hoops game.
Backspin. I'm gonna make it real funky. On Sirius XM.
Machiavellianist, Illuminati, all through your body. The blows like a 12-gauge shot at you. And God said he should send his one begotten son to lead the wild into the ways of the man. Follow me. Eat my flesh, flesh of my flesh. Come with me. Hail Mary, run quick, see. What do we have here now? La-la-la-la-la-la-la. I ain't a killer, but don't push me. Revenge is like the sweetest joy next to getting pussy. Picture paragraphs unloaded. Wise words being quoted. Beat the weakness in the rap game and sold it. Bow down, pray to God, hoping that he's listening.
All right, well, I'm stuck in traffic, so, let's take some phone calls. The phone lines are open. The phone line is open. How about that? Any questions for the next 20 minutes or so while I drive?
Mama told me never stop until I bust a nut. Fuck the world and they can't adjust. It's just this way. Oh, Hail Mary, come with me. Hail Mary, nigga, run quick, see. What we have in hell? On the body, die. La 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 la. Come with me. Hail Mary.
941, you say? Hello, you're on air. Who is this? Where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Jack calling from Florida. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. How's it going in Florida?
It's sunny outside. It's about, I want to say mid-70s. What's it like over there?
It's supposed to get up to around 80 today. But right now, actually, let me see what my car says. I got to hit this button here. Average speed, 44 miles an hour. Second gear. Okay, 63 degrees. But sunny and clear, so yeah, it'll probably heat up pretty nicely. I don't know. I'm just like stopped in traffic in the middle of Marin County, and all these people around me suck, basically.
Do you think we'll ever get to the point where we can control the weather someday?
I mean, I think we're going to have to in a weird way. Like, not like G.I. Joe Weather Dominator, but like, when you think about where we're headed, climately speaking, they're probably going to have to figure out some sort of way to counteract that stuff with actual proper science, instead of actually changing our ways and you know, heading off global warming or whatever that way. But yeah, I think that they'll probably have to put more research into figuring out, like, okay, what can we do in space to make the weather different or something like that. So maybe not like on a huge scale of, or on like a local scale, like, well, we need some more rain here, we need some more rain here, but like, globally speaking, I bet that they'll get to a point where they can do something about the weather.
But who do we give this power to?
Yeah, I don't know, that's, you know, like, at that point you're getting into the, like, you know, is the UN viable and trustworthy and all that sort of stuff and all that. So, you know, you give it to Kevin Spacey, he'll figure it out.
Right on, man, right on. How bad do you think the delay is going to be for you today?
This won't be too bad. This will probably be, I mean, I'm already like a half hour in on this drive, and I bet I'll get to the office like a little bit before 10, which is really only about 20 minutes longer than it normally is. Sometimes this drive can be 2 hours, but it's 40 miles, basically, so, you know, when things are good, it can actually be a little bit under an hour, but generally it's usually around an hour to an hour 20 to get from one end to the other. But, yeah, we'll see how it goes. I don't know. It's slow right now, but not dead stop.
Right on. Yeah, man.
Cool.
Big fan here.
Thanks.
Do you have other calls waiting for you?
Yeah. Let's move along. Thanks a lot for calling. Have a good day in Florida.
I have. Thanks. You too. Bye.
Yeah, see ya.
It's the green like a bird in the tree. We're running from the penitentiary. This is the time for we leave it to El Mary.
I don't even know what the number is. I know some of you guys already know it. And it's... Here we go. The 858. Hello, who is this? Where are you calling from?
Hey, my name is Denzel. I'm calling from San Diego.
Yeah, San Diego. The home of Rey Mysterio. Is that like on the sign when you drive into town? Is it just like a picture of Rey Mysterio? And it just says Booyaka Booyaka?
Nah, it's just a sign talking about how bad SeaWorld is.
Yeah, no, that's...
That kind of stuff.
I have not been to San Diego in a long time. A friend of mine does... Oh, we got an incoming call here. No. I have a friend who does radio there, AJ, in the mornings on Energy something something. I don't know what the actual number is, but, yeah, he's from up here.
I think a long time ago he was on, like, 933 AJ in the morning.
Yeah. He moved to a different station. I know that. Like over the last year or two, I think he moved to a different station, but I'm pretty sure he's still on down there somewhere.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
What's on
That's
your mind?
What's up, man? You know, I'm wondering, with the delay of games so far in this console cycle, I'm wondering if the consoles would have been delayed, would the delayed games been on time?
Yes. Probably. So the thing that I feel like I've heard a couple of times now is that maybe Microsoft was expecting to have another year with the Xbox One before they would be releasing it this Christmas. And then when Sony got out there, like, you know, last February or whatever it was, and said, by the way, we're coming out, everyone went, oh, fuck, like, we need to finish these fucking games. And it's why a lot of the early games have not been all that. And it's why you haven't seen a ton of games either, because publishers weren't necessarily out there doing the deals to get developers in place to make the games happen. So, also, that was kind of compounded by some of the bigger publishers weren't necessarily convinced that the consoles would take off and sell. So they were kind of hedging their bets a little bit. And then when they came out the box and started doing real well, they had to catch up and be like, oh, fuck, we need to make games. So it's why, like, Sleeping Dogs Definitive Edition, for example, it's probably why stuff like that comes out, you know, like all the, like, repackaged, like the Saints Row thing that's coming out. Like, they realize that there's just not a lot of games out there, and that these are kind of quick ways to put games on the platform and hopefully do well, while they give the studios time to actually do the real work that they're supposed to be doing. So I think with that in mind, like, next year will probably be pretty good. But yeah, I think that a lot of the games that got pushed would probably have been closer to on time if they had had more time to, you know, to deal with it and learn about the console and all that other stuff. Like, everyone's timetable got truncated and it kind of made it weird for a lot of people, as I understand it.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Pretty wild. Last question. I'm wondering when your jar episode is going to go up.
I need to record one. I've been meaning to do it this week, but I've just been really busy. I will probably get to it early next week, if not this weekend. So I'll probably be going through that inbox on Comic Vine and pulling out some questions. I pulled out some a while ago. I'll keep all those and then see if any new ones have come in over the last, like, few weeks here and get something like that together. I'll probably, I may end up bringing a jar into the office and just recording it there for a change. I don't know. It might be easier to get it done during the day instead of like, okay, now I got to get home. And it's like, okay, well, now that I'm home, I don't want to, like, set everything up and do all the stuff. I kind of want to relax, but yeah, that's, it'll probably be next week.
Sounds good, man. Thanks.
Cool. All right, man. See ya. There's a backseat lover that's always undercover, and I talk to my daddy, say, send the AC to you down on a hook, and it's sure to be a change of way. The big cheerleader, that's a real big leader, but flies like a river kiss. And the best thing I love, once he sees the end of the cover, and it starts with a little kiss like this. Hey, how's it going? Who is this? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, this is Sean from Ohio.
Ohio Sean, what's the word?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Political after death, but in over a year, so deal with that.
Yeah.
So with the release of all the holiday games out now, Far Cry 4 has been kind of buried and haven't been really talked about much. Are you still excited for it?
Yeah, I definitely. I'm really like I really liked Far Cry 3, and I hope Far Cry 4 is fantastic. I don't really know yet. I've messed with it a little bit, but it's. I think Far Cry is in a weird spot, and I don't know why Ubisoft treats it that way. Like, I think it's like the best thing they've got going. Like, Assassins has been kind of hit and miss. And, you know, like, I'm not convinced that this year's Assassin's Creed is going to be great or not. I haven't really played it. And, like, the Crew, like, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, like, Watch Dogs, I think, was to me, Far Cry 4 is the most important thing that Ubisoft is releasing this year. And, yeah, they don't really spend a whole lot of time talking about it. I don't really know why they don't put more into it. Because, I mean, everyone seem to really like Far Cry 3. Like, maybe just the sales aren't there. Maybe it's the sort of thing where, because it's a first-person shooter, maybe they lose out because they're coming out after Call of Duty, and or people look at it, you know, in a different light than these kind of other action-adventure games that the company puts out. But, yeah, I don't know. Far Cry 4 never seems to get the big push that Assassins gets, but I think Far Cry 3 is better than just about anything that company's done over the past, like, I don't know, 4 years, 3 years, or whatever it is. So, I mean, in some ways, even if Far Cry 4 is just kind of Far Cry 3 in a new land with a new story, like, I'll take it. Like, I hope that they do more dramatic things with it, but I liked 3 so much that, you know, I would be willing to accept more of that, at least this time. And be like satisfied with that, but yeah, I don't know. At least they're putting it out not in December this time. It's not some weird like last minute delay and all this other shit. So
yeah, I was actually pretty disappointed because I was hoping Far Cry would be a December game. It would be pretty unique for the game to be released in December.
Yeah, but it's sales wise. It makes sales wise they have to put it out before Thanksgiving so that they can be there when all the holiday shopping starts and all that. I think, you know, that's sort of, but then they end up bunching up games. Like, I mean, it's like that and Assassin's Creed are so close together now. It's just crazy. But yeah, maybe they just feel that the games appeal to different people and all that. I don't know.
Yeah. Thanks for answering your question.
Yeah.
Question.
Cool. See ya. It got really foggy again. We sang the dangle. We so tight that you get our styles tangled. Sway your dojito like you loco. Can we get the weekend night like Coco? So. You wanna play with my yo-yo? I smoke my high. Bravo!
Call from unknown caller. To accept, press 1. To send a voicemail, press
what?
2.
To
accept, press 1. To send a voicemail.
Hello, you're on the air. Who is this? Where are you calling from?
Hey, that's a nut. Chicago.
Hey. How's it going Chicago? Sir? It's going all right.
It's going okay. It's a little cold. Yesterday was really cold, and I'm currently at work right now trying not to get fired as I want to.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I understand it started snowing there a few days ago.
It snowed on Halloween while kids were outside, which I took a lot of pleasure in.
Yeah. Yeah, Halloween was like the first rain we got around here, so very few trick-or-treaters out and about this year.
I feel very sorry for you in California.
I know, yeah. It might rain again on Wednesday, so we're bracing for that.
All right, well, yeah, I'm calling because I just wanted to let you know I'm out here in Chicago. I've actually met up with Patrick a couple times now.
Yeah.
Saw him at Hitbash. And I just wanted to let you know I have a grandmaster plan for becoming one of your employees and then subsequently your best friend.
Great. Okay. So, yeah. That's a great plan. That's a good way to start. I'm hoping that we can eventually expand out there in Chicago someday. But you know, it's hard to. It's a lot of ups and downs. You got to look at, you know, all these locations we've got now and what are we doing and all this and yeah. But
mm-hmm.
I really want to get out there to Chicago. I haven't been out there in a long time.
That would be excellent. We would love to have you.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So, all right. That's all I really wanted to say. Cool. I just wanted to mix with people to hear me say that to you.
All right, man. Well, get back to work then. I'm going to try not to run over this guy on the motorcycle that is driving like a total dick.
All right, I will do that.
All right.
You do that.
Okay, see ya. This guy is just weaving around. Like, he's in front of me now. He's in front of me and he's doing like a little bit under the speed limit, which is sort of a shitty thing. I mean, you're in the fast lane, Holmes. Yeah, ride the Harley. There he goes. As soon as Action Bronson commanded him to ride it to the sunset, he started going a little faster. Oh, you know what? The speed limit through here is 55 anyway, so I guess actually technically we're doing 70. He's not going under the speed limit. Let's see what's up.
Call from unknown caller. To accept,
why is
press
he doing
1.
This?
And to voicemail, press 2.
Hello, you're on the air. Who are you? Where are you? What is your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm Drew, and I'm from Houston, Texas.
All right, Houston, home of the lean.
I'd like to personally thank you for last night for saying that tanks do not have rights, because I'm a firm believer in anti-tank rights.
Yeah, I mean, tanks are tanks. They're not people. They're, like, they're, tanks are tools to be used and discarded if necessary. They're not... Why would a tank have rights? That's ridiculous. Are you still there?
Yes, sorry, you cut off and I was very confused.
Okay.
Now, I do have one question.
Okay.
Is cheesecake technically a cake or is it a pie?
Is cheesecake technically a cake or a pie?
Yes.
I mean, it says cake right in the name, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
And I think either way, despite its like crusty kind of filling sort of thing, but also I'm going to go one step further and say cheesecake is... generally speaking, disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of shouldn't be either. It doesn't deserve to be either. It's like tanks in a lot of ways. Cheesecake mm-hmm. shouldn't have rights.
Okay, that sounds about perfect.
Okay. Fantastic.
Thanks so much.
Yep. All right. See ya. Cheesecake just creeps me out, man. You never know what you're gonna get. Like, what? Though, whenever I get like a crappy little slice of cheesecake on an airplane, it's all right. Washington State, you're on the air. Go ahead. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Oh, this is Dove, Donald.
Cool. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just thinking, the last
Call of Duty game I played was the very first Modern Warfare.
Yeah.
And I was wondering about when the multiplayer scene got, like, really intense.
When the multiplayer scene got really intense, I think it was with Call of Duty 4. I think it, you know, that's when it really, like, in a lot of ways, that game redefined competitive shooters, particularly on consoles, for that kind of fast-paced action. Like I think that was the game that really set it off in a lot of ways, and you could kind of point to that as, like, you know, why there was some sort of resurgence in esports for console games and stuff like that, because they were trying to make that a little more serious over the years. But yeah, for me, the impression I get is that, yeah, like, that was the game that made, that really kind of changed multiplayer in a lot of ways. You know, I think Halo 2 definitely earns a lot of credit, for kind of console shooters and multiplayer console shooters and stuff as well. But I think Call of Duty 4 made it mainstream and huge in a way that it hadn't been before. And I think, you know, like, Modern Warfare 2, I think, reflects that in a lot of ways, where it's, you know, like, they spent a lot more time on the multiplayer and fleshed it out a little bit. I think Modern Warfare 2 is kind of the, like, well, while it's less surprising by virtue of being a sequel, it's where they kind of honed that style, and kind of, I think that's in a lot of ways where it peaks. You know, Black Ops is cool too, and Black Ops 2 and Advanced Warfare, obviously, but, you know, like, that's Modern Warfare 2 in terms of, like, where they were going with the design and all that stuff. I think that's the game where you could tell they were taking that aspect of it much more seriously than they were in the original Modern Warfare.
Yeah. Do you think the multiplayer scene will be able to transition to this new sort of style?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I think so. I think people go, like, it's people go forward, never back in most cases. It's the thing they say about, you know, the fighting game community in a lot of ways, is once people move on to a new game, they tend to not go back. And I think some of that definitely applies, but not all the time. You know, I think Ghosts was in such a rut for a lot of people that Black Ops 2 probably maintained in a way that it probably shouldn't have. But yeah, I think, like, this new style, I think you're going to see more games that try to put a focus on player mobility. And in some ways, it's, you know, like, players have gotten comfortable with the standard levels of mobility that you expect out of these shooters, and so in some ways it's like we're moving from, it's almost like we're moving from Doom to Quake or to UT or something like that on the PC, where, you know, people got comfortable with the controls of PC shooters in such a way that's like, okay, well, now you can rocket jump and it runs at like 10 times the speed and these rockets are coming at you from everywhere and you know, you've got to get around. Or in UT, it's like, okay, well, now we're going to give you a double jump and do all this other stuff, so movement becomes a much more part of the game. Or more degrees of freedom, I guess, you know, is kind of maybe the way to look at it. But I think that you could look at some of the stuff that is happening with Titanfall and Advanced Warfare and try to draw some parallels there. I don't think it's a perfect... You sort of see... Like, I think we're heading in that direction. Like, the players that play these games probably want a sterner challenge, something more to do than just walk around a corner and shoot someone, and boosts and jetpacks and that sort of stuff is a way to accomplish that. So I think we'll see that for a little bit here, and then, you know, maybe move on to something else after that.
Yeah. All right, thank you very much.
Yep, cool. See ya. All right. So we're going to call it for calls, because I'm on the Golden Gate Bridge now, and that means I'm just about into San Francisco, where I have to start thinking about driving a car instead of just this straight freeway, so... Oh man, this one got through. I thought I turned on Do Not Disturb. Let's take it. Hey, what's going on? Where are you calling from? Who is this?
Hi, this is Devin from Cape Coral. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How's it going?
good. Yourself? I'm pretty good. I guess my question is, like, you know, I've been kind of deliberating on, you know, what console am I going to get this year, thinking about, like, you know, the games that are coming out. And it got me kind of thinking about the first year in the last console generation. It felt like we were getting a lot of new franchises kind of developing, like, you know, Uncharted, you know, your Assassin's Creed, Call of Duty really kind of coming into its own. I think about now, like, a lot of the games, like, a new Call of Duty, a new Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
And not, like, a lot of new franchises. Like, how do you feel about this console generation, you know, in general, overall, like, a year in?
I think that's it's a frustrating aspect of it that we haven't seen kind of more new, like, truly new things on the consoles yet. But I think it's a reflection of kind of where the business went over the last generation, where, you know, games got more and more expensive to produce. The middle tier games, like if you think about the 360, like, you know, it had this wide library of games early on that, you know, kind of got more focused and honed over the course of the generation to where, like, you know, you weren't seeing like a Frontlines Fuel of War later on because people were like, well, we know that game is not going to compete with Call of Duty or something like that, so we're not going to make it, you know, or THQ went out of business so that, you know, they weren't around to make stuff like that, and, you know, Pandemic was no longer around to make a Mercs 3 or something like that, so I think over the course of that generation, you saw games change, you saw the business of games change to become an even more hit-driven business than it already was. And the companies that couldn't compete in that space either had to make huge adjustments or go out of business. And that's where we're at now, where, you know, the blockbusters became even more blockbustery and the middle tier games dropped out to pave the way for these smaller indie games that are now in a lot of ways like fueling, like creating the foundations for these new consoles. You know, it's easy to look at, you know, like the stuff that would have just been an Xbox Live Arcade game and cast it off, but like it's kind of important now because there are more of those games and fewer of the big games to think about. So stuff like Volgar gets a spotlight in a way that it wouldn't have before. And I think that's kind of cool that we're returning to this state where these smaller games from smaller teams can thrive. Like, it just kind of reminds me of, like, the, you know, the Commodore 64 days or something like that, where and around that time where you just had these smaller games that were doing pretty well. But it is still weird to me that, yeah, you just, you know, you don't see people out there taking chances with disc-based games the same way you used to, because that shit is expensive. So all the risky stuff is coming out in these smaller games. And it's great to see people take those chances, and there's been some cool stuff that's come out of it. It's part of why it's, like, been so, like, disappointing, I guess, that there's like a faction of people out there that will look at something like a Gone Home and just like shit all over it, and it's like, this isn't even a game. It's like, no, like it's fine to not like it, but at the same time, like, we've got a wider array of games coming out than we've ever had before. They just don't all come out on disc, and they don't all, you know, live on store shelves, so they're, you know, in some cases they're easier to miss, and sometimes they're 2 hours long and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't know. Like, it's weird because I feel like, you know, we're still seeing new things and new ideas. They're just happening in a lot of these smaller games now, and we're not seeing like huge investment in new franchises, like, you know, Sunset Overdrive kind of notwithstanding. You know, like, there hasn't been,
right.
I guess, like, Rise, you know, that there's Rise is new. Hey, there, I mean, Loco Cycle, that was no. yeah, you know, we're seeing some of that stuff.
Everyone loved that game.
Yeah, yeah. So where that stuff exists, it just exists in a different way. And I think that goes for all of games. Like stuff is as spread out in kind of a weird way to where you can't really make those direct comparisons to the start of the last generation just because the business has gone in such a weird direction.
Right. Yeah, I hope that, you know, the bigger companies kind of try and branch out once in a while.
Yeah, it'd be great to see. It was one of the really frustrating things for me about the Black Tusk stuff with Microsoft is that supposedly that team was working on some kind of interesting spy game that was like a whole new thing, and then Microsoft just went out and bought the Gears IP and said, how about instead you guys make Gears of War? I'm like, great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we need, more Gears of War. I mean, I like Gears of War, but I'd rather see some more risky stuff.
In 2014, what the hell is Gears of War, right?
Exactly, yeah. Especially after Judgment. Like, you know, you're kind of picking up the pieces at that point. Epic said just about everything they need to say about Gears of War. Like, what is Microsoft going to add to it at this point? Like, you know, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see, I guess, on that one. But yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well,
thanks for taking my call.
Yep. Cool. I'll see you around. Bye.
Have a good one, buddy.
You too.
Take it easy.
Yep.
Affiliates, nigga.
Check it out.
I'm talking about Affiliates Radio. Streets is watching. Watch.
Listen.
That's why you're truly John F. Kennedy and the Trendsetter DJ Session.
Trendsetter.
Each and every Friday night, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. The biggest bangers, the biggest stars, and no bullshit.
Only no bullshit. All right, great.
J45. Know that.
So we run around. In your head, you know I'm job. Well, thanks everybody for calling. Man, these cars right behind this slow-ass moving bike that's riding into the tunnel are not fucking thrilled about it. But there's so much traffic in the tunnel that maybe it doesn't matter. I'm stopped. I'm not even in the tunnel. Oh, man. Damn.
Taking it.
now this guy on the bike is going faster than all the cars. And he's like, fuck us. And we're like, yeah.
Wait till you're announced.
Play Move That Dope. Hear him say real dope dealers for real, or else why am I listening to this song?
Push it. Push it.
Mike will push it.
Young nigga, move that dope. Young nigga, move that dope. Ain't move that dope. Ain't move that dope. Young nigga, move that dope. Young nigga, move that dope. Young nigga, move that dope. Ain't move that dope. Ain't move that dope. Young nigga, move that dope. Young nigga, move that dope. Young nigga, move that dope. Ain't move that dope. Ain't move that dope.
Rockin' the dope, soon as they get out your boat. Keepin' the sound like a meme. Girl on my link, poking the sink. Choppin' that work like a ratty. Serving a new Maserati. In a brand new Maserati. That's a whole lot of new money. Session that had it for 12. Moving the squares and them bills. Serving the rawest of year. Beating that China like who's a kitchen. Weepin' it, weepin' that fishing for a kid. Drinking no syrup, I'm rolling them head. Made myself a bouncer, bouncing up trunk. Either way you put it, nigga, I'm good. Triple salute, nigga, straight out the hood. Back of soda, water splash, and scale. Fuck my right and my pride and my limb. Leaning all right over to the side. I whip me a 408 to a 9. The dirty, the money is homicide. And my recipe can't be televised.
Young nigga, move that dope. Young nigga, move that dope. Ain't move that dope, ain't move that dope. Young nigga, move that dope. Young nigga, move that dope. Young nigga, move that dope. Ain't move that dope, ain't move that dope. Young nigga, move that dope. Young nigga, move that dope. Young nigga, move that dope. Ain't move that dope, ain't move that dope. Young nigga, move that dope. Young nigga, move that dope. Young nigga, move that dope. Ain't move that dope, ain't move that dope. Young nigga, move that dope.
Young enough to still sell dope, but old enough that I knows better. When they singing it's 42 for that white powder, I knows better. Get it, nigga, I knows better. Put a smile on the devil's face. Who don't wanna sell dope forever and flood they roll it to the vessel break? Fish scale in the two doors that I fish tails. Fiberglass, Ferrari leather, and designer shit that I miss still. Yeah, look at the clues, the G's, the jewels, I'm acting a monkey. From 15 years old, I'm whipping in kitchens, fucking my junkies. Pablo, Versace, way before me goes. My dinner plates, no silverware. All you niggas, my e-hoes. Cost a kilo like a free throw. Crack house, I had the peephole. Made it through to the other side. Now nothing's big as my ego.
Young nigga, move that dope. Young nigga, move that dope. Ain't move that dope. Ain't move that dope.
It's good branding. It's good branding on Pusha T's part. One, to consistently rap about the same topic. And two, to end most of his verses on other people's songs by saying push. It's great branding. It's great branding. It's a branding win. It's a branding win right there.
I try to lead the best for later. But Pusha try to put me on the respirator. The old skateboard Pete, that's your favorite. Me and 20 girls doing yoga naked. Frequency high, like a spaceship. She say that she like it, then she been exposed. The Gandalf hat and the wood-ass clothes. That's coming out son and the Buffalo. I know gorillas with the triggers that son of banana clippers. And packing with the biggest missiles. These niggas is knocking over vehicles. These niggas ain't waiting just to see niggas. These niggas niggas ain't tryna hear please niggas. These niggas like chopping down trees niggas. These niggas want to three and they squeeze niggas. These niggas hit the weed and they leave niggas. She nigga.
If you got two hoes, you need to let one go. Two Lambos, you need to let one go. All these drones, why y'all smoke drones? Never high in the sky. I'm tryna let y'all know. Ain't no standards, I'ma set one though. Big ass bag, but no mess and though. All that war, we need to let that go. That boring business, I'ma get that hoe.
Young nigga, move that dough. Young nigga, move that dough. Baby, move that dough. Baby, move that dough. Young nigga, move that dough. Young nigga, move that dough. Young nigga, move that dough. Baby, move that dough. Baby, move that dough. Young nigga, move that dough. Young nigga, move that dough. Young nigga, move that dough. Baby, move that dough. Baby, move that dough. Young nigga, move that dough. Young nigga, move that dough. Young nigga, move that dough. Baby, move that dough. Baby, move that dough. Young nigga, move that dough.
Young nigga, got that cost. Work that dough. Like a passion. How you think about that cost? Wait in the room. Young nigga, cash it out. Toss him in a purse. Toss him in his ass. Young nigga, about to pass out.
This is not a great verse. Like, they should take a Trim Casino's verse off this thing and be a better song. Or just let the beat ride for a little bit, you know? Play Man of... No. Fuck. Wait. What do I actually want to hear? Play 187. Not sure that would work.
The honey bucket route, taking the side streets. Cars from this fucking side street, man.
Smile in my face and never play my shit. Shit. Wrong niggas to play with. It's hot. The homies got heaters they stay with, nigga. 187 in progress. Everybody get it. Everybody's a target. These niggas got me on my shit.
popcorn.
I like that song, but like the sample's a little too ridiculous, and maybe not like chopped up enough. All right, maybe I can do a little more to it or something production-wise. No, come on. Play Man of the Year.
Of the year.
Yeah, no, that's yes.
Yeah. Brassy girls everywhere. Titty ass, hands in the air. Somebody over here. Shaking for the man of the year. Man of the year. Man of the bounce. Brassy girls everywhere. Titty ass, hands in the air. Somebody over here. Shaking for the man of the year. Man of the year. Man of the bounce. Brassy girls everywhere. Tiny lit land of the G's. Please let a nigga breathe. Tank top down for the breeze. Burnt lips, got a blood full of weed. Peace, love in the means. Nigga, I ain't come for the beef. You ain't no sheep. Came for the seat. Got life for the cheeks. Nigga, I'm the life for the beef. Fuck that this year. Gotta eat. Bounce for the crown. You be hating and I still hold it down. When you round, man, the girls never lounge. Man, I heard you a hound. Rap, man, that bitch need a pound. Tip, 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 bounce out of gown. Hands high to the sound. Yeah, I'm the rich nigga now. Big bitch, down the talk of the town. Make a bitch run a mouth. Yeah, go south. For the boy, pop down to the floor. Brassy girls everywhere. Titty ass, hands in the air. Somebody over here. Shaking for the man of the year. Man of the year. Man of the bounce. Brassy girls everywhere. Titty ass, hands in the air. Somebody over here. Shaking for the man of the year. Curve. We coins every corner sell herb. Watch it fly to a bird. Nigga, I can pitch you a curb. Let this real shit occur. Make meals from a bird. Nigga, cop a crib in the burbs. Nigga, you ain't said nothing but a word. Smoke something for your nerve. Home of the paid on the first end. Nigga, going broke by the third. Bounce for the crown. Fast forward, getting real to me now. Every dog need a cat to meow. Every once in a while, I see hands in the crowd. See white, black, blaze in the pound. Jumping around. Kiss ass bump by the gown. Bounce from the ground. Get hype for the sound. First straight from the mark, down from the floor, bounce. Brassy girls everywhere, titty ass hands in the air, somebody over here, shaking for the man of the year, man of the year, man of the bounce. Brassy girls everywhere, titty ass hands in the air, somebody over here, shaking for the man of the year.
Play Seen It All. Oh, damn it. Play Seen It All. that song, isn't it? I guess it's the name of the album, though, too.
I remember being posted up on the first and the third, just reading up, nigga got a nine piece. Hey. All the while fantasizing, visualizing, coming through when the bands with a dime piece. Yeah. All the ball with that time.
Instead.
What's in the back of my mind, sitting in the back of that thing? Yeah. With them two double R's sitting in the back of my brain. Anywhere but here, that's what I told my chauffeur. Hey. Hey, this shit getting heavy. Weight of the world on my shoulders. Think you figured it out, but you don't have a clue. Don't think you on top of the world, but the world on top of you. I started hustling for draws, and now there's plaques on the walls. Think I'm selling my soul, then you can come get them all. Trade them all for my dogs. Yeah, I'm talking to you.
Alright, I'm at the office, so I'm gonna go do some Friday business. I suggest you do the same, and I will see you later. Have a good Friday.